This is John 11 is the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It's one of the last things that Jesus did in his earthly ministry. It was soon after this, probably just a few days, that he entered Jerusalem for the final time. Then he was arrested and tried and crucified and buried and then arose from the grave. It's like all the miracles of Jesus. It's amazing. It's it's miraculous. That's why we call them miracles. And usually, when we read through this chapter, we have a tendency to focus solely on the miracle. As a matter of fact, if you're familiar with it, sometimes we have a tendency to get to the miracle so much that we sort of overlook some of the scriptures around and before and after the miracle. And so today, I want to notice a couple of the things that surrounded the miracle, not necessarily the miracle itself. So let's read. I'm just going to read the first seven verses of the chapter, but if you have your Bibles, leave them open because we'll refer to several of the verses in this chapter. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. The first thing I want to notice and talk about a little bit is the death of Lazarus. I don't know how old Lazarus was. It doesn't appear that he was significantly old. It doesn't appear that he was in poor health. There's nothing mentioned about his health or his age. All we know, verse 1 says, Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany. He got sick. Later in the chapter, verse 14, we find out that he died from that sickness, whatever the illness was. But that's really all we're told about the death of Lazarus, except for one other thing. Verse 4. When Jesus heard that, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, when the messenger came, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. The reason for Lazarus's death was so that God could be glorified. His temporary death was so that Jesus Christ could be glorified. You know what? We don't, I shouldn't say we. I'm not going to put you in a category with everybody else because you may be different. But I have a tendency to not think that the difficult things that happen, that the bad things that happen by our definition in life are anything other than bad. This was a bad deal. Martha and Mary thought this was a bad thing. Lazarus, I'm sure, thought it was a bad thing. He got sick. He was desperately sick. He finally died. I'm sure they all three thought it was a bad thing, but it wasn't a bad thing. It was for the glory of Jesus Christ. Over the last several months, you have kind of had to suffer through this with me, and I guess I should apologize for that. But over the last several months, I have come to understand, or I'm coming to understand, it's hard that the world doesn't revolve around me. And as I am realizing that, I'm realizing that it doesn't revolve around you either. It really isn't about us. It really is about Jesus Christ. Usually when we pray, usually when I pray, we focus on ourselves. My needs, my wants, my desires. Lord, what we really want. Now, honestly, I know we don't verbalize this, but somewhere in our mind, what we really want is for God to make us healthy, happy, and wealthy. You know, what we really want is for God to make our life comfortable, a life of comfort and ease, no problems, no controversy, no difficulties, no sick. Well, that's what we really want. And honestly now, most of the time, when we pray, that's our focus. That's all wrong. When Martha and Mary and Lazarus, before he passed away, when they prayed, when Lazarus got sick and when they prayed,
I would imagine, I don't know this, but I would imagine they were just like us, and I imagine their prayer was, God, please heal Lazarus. I seriously doubt if any of the three of them said, God, if Lazarus needs to die for your glory, take him. We don't do that, do we? We focus on ourselves. I think that's why we get frustrated. I think that's why we sometimes get aggravated with God, and we think God's not hearing our prayers because He won't give us what we want, or He doesn't give us what we want. When the truth is, it's all about God. And what our prayer should be is, Father, Thy will, I want what You want. And if that means pain and suffering and struggle and sorrow for me, if that means death for someone that I'm close to, if that means death for me, bring it on. I want You to be glorified. I'm going to tell you something. When you pray that prayer, then your prayers are answered quickly, affirmatively, and always. God wants His will to be accomplished, and God will accomplish His will. And when we genuinely pray, Thy will be done, we get a yes to our prayers. Last week I talked about Paul a little bit and his thorn in the flesh, and I don't want to labor that point too much. But you remember he prayed and he asked, he didn't want it. Who would want a thorn? Who wants sickness? Who wants pain? Nobody does. And so he prayed and he said, God, heal me, deliver me, get this thing. And God said no. Three times he prayed, three times God said no. And when Paul finally realized that it was the... I still have a hard time with this. When Paul finally realized that it was the will of God for him to have the thorn, then he gloried in the thorn. He said, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When he understood that the thorn was God's will, he said, praise the Lord. God's will is being done. We find peace and we find rejoicing in this life no matter what happens when we realize it's not about me, it's all about God. And when His will is done, I will therefore rejoice. In this case, it was the sickness and death of Lazarus. The next thing that I want to consider this morning is the delay. Jesus was in the Transjordan area. He was about 1 day's journey by foot from Bethany. And so when Lazarus, by the time Jesus got to where Bethany, where Lazarus was, we know that he was dead 4 days. It took a day for the messenger to get to Jesus from Bethany to Jesus. It took a day for Jesus to get from where he was back to Bethany. And he waited 2 days. I have to tell you, it's that delay. It's that 2 days. I understand the day of travel and the day of travel back. I understand those. It's those 2 days. It's that delay. Don't you get frustrated when Jesus waits? I do. I'll just be honest with you. This is my confession this morning. Maybe I'll get past all this and we can move on to something else in the next few weeks. When I pray, honestly now, I think I'm pretty normal. When I pray, I want God to answer it now. I mean, by the time I'm praying, I want it to be done. 2 days. Martha and Mary, they sent a messenger to Jesus. They knew it would take a day to get there. They knew it would take a day for him to get back. On the morning of the third day, don't you think they wondered, oh, where's Jesus? I know they thought that. But the answer to the question is, why did he delay? The answer is found in verse 5. It's been there all these years. I've read it. I'm not telling how many times I've read it, and I never realized it. Because I was in such a hurry to get to the miracle, I didn't realize this. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Hey, that's why he waited. He loved them. Now we read that, and we think about that, and it doesn't make sense to us, does it? I think, if he really loved them, why didn't he go immediately? As a matter of fact, Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to get sick. And so if he knew that he was going, I mean, you know, he knew that he's God. So he knew he was going to get sick. He knew when he was going to get sick. So in my mind, I'm thinking, why didn't he go before?
so that as soon as the sickness came, he could heal Lazarus and everything would be all right. That's what we do. When our children are in trouble, what do? We rush to their aid. We don't wait. We rush. We hurry. We go. We do. We fix. We try. Jesus, by the time he got the message, Lazarus was dead, probably, because it took a day to get there, and he'd been dead 4 days when he got back. So we think, well, you know, why didn't he just prevent Lazarus? He didn't even have to go. Just prevent Lazarus from getting sick, and then he would. If he really loved him, he wouldn't let him get sick. Isn't that what we think? Right? We get sick. Maybe it's a little sick, maybe it's a big sick. And it happens to us and we think, well, God, why did you let me get sick? I thought you loved me. Why did he? Because he loved them. Martha and Mary had a greater need than having their brother be healed from his sickness. I never realized this. They had a greater need. And because Jesus loved them, he met their greater need, not the lesser need. And the greater need was that their faith be increased. Listen to this, if you would. I know you're listening. I don't know why I say that, but maybe I'm talking to myself. The fourth day, when Jesus arrived, Martha and Mary both said the exact same things to Jesus. The same words. In verse 21, then Martha said unto Jesus, after Jesus got there, Martha and Jesus are having this conversation. They're apart from all the mourners. And Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. In verse 32, Mary said the exact same words. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, I used to read that and I thought they were getting on to Jesus. You know, why did you wait? Why didn't you hurry? Why didn't you come? If you would have been here. You know what? They were making a statement of faith. If you had been here, you could have done something about it. That's the statement of faith. Here's the problem. But you weren't here, and it's too late. You can't do anything about this. Martha and Mary had limited faith. They believed Jesus could have healed Lazarus before he died, but they did not believe that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead. Listen to this conversation starting in verse 23. This is a conversation between Martha and Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now listen to her answer. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection. When he said that, he said, I have power over death. I am the resurrection. I am life. And then he said, do you believe me? And Martha said, yes, I believe you're the Son of God. She did not say, yes, I believe you have power over death. Yes, I believe you're the resurrection. She said, yes, I believe you're the Messiah. Her faith was limited. She did not believe, Mary did not believe, that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead. As far as they were concerned, he had waited too late. If he had come earlier, maybe. If he had come before, for sure. But Lazarus has been dead 4 days, been buried in the tomb for 4 days. It's too late. And so to prove that Jesus is the resurrection and to prove that he has all power, that his power is unlimited, and to increase Martha and Mary's faith, he raised Lazarus from the dead. 4 days dead, Jesus raised him. How's your faith? Is your faith limited? We read, what is that scripture? Luke 137, I think it is, isn't it? Luke 137 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And we read that verse, oh boy, yeah, listen, God can do anything with God. And then we pray, and somewhere in the recesses of our mind, we think, oh, I think it's too late. Last week, we did this Pray 31. We passed out the Pray 31 things, and J.D., when he got home, he put on Facebook something about the Pray 31.
And I didn't read all of it. Sherry read it to me. But there was some guy that got on there and said, listen, it's too late. It's too late. Too late to pray for our nation. It's too late. Listen, God is in control of time. If God can do anything, then God can do anything. And He can do it any time. It's never too late. As long as there's breath, as long as there's life, it's not too late. We think it's too late. We think that God has delayed, but it's not too late for God. And then there's something else, if you'd allow me to speculate for just 1 minute. Jesus waited to increase Martha and Mary's faith. I think maybe He also waited to create faith, to build faith, to initiate faith in those who did not believe. Can I tell you what might have happened? And I think I can prove this from some of the things that happened around the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. If Jesus had gotten there before Lazarus got sick, and as soon as he had gotten sick, if Jesus had healed him, somebody, maybe several somebodies, would have said, well, it was the medicine. Right? He went to the doctor, got this prescription for this stuff, and man, that stuff really works good. It's just a coincidence that Jesus happened to show up about the time he was taking the medicine. Right? We do that, don't we? Did you know, listen to me, all healing is divine healing.
Amen.
Oh, no, Pastor, that's not right. Doctors and nurses and medicine, yes. Who do you think gave those doctors the understanding and the knowledge to do what they do? Isn't it amazing what they can do? You think they just woke up one morning and, oh, I can take a heart out and repair it and put it back in. God gave them that. How do you think they figured out all these medicine and the drugs and all these things? God gave that to them. All healing is divine healing. But we don't attribute all healing to God. It was the medicine. I talked to somebody one time. Man, I hope it wasn't one of you guys. It probably was, but my memory's bad, so please forgive me. Somebody that I talked to had gone to the doctor, and they had an x-ray. I don't know why. They'd got sick, and they'd had an x-ray, and they found a spot. The x-ray showed a spot. And boy, they wanted me to pray, so I prayed with them, and you know, they were praying about it, and I don't know, a week or two later, whenever it was, they had to go back for an MRI to figure out what this spot was. Went back for the MRI, and there was nothing there. And they come back and say, well, see, it was just a mistake. Well, wasn't a mistake. We prayed. God healed. But it was too soon. It was coincidence. It was a mistake. It was the doctor. It was the nurse. It was the medicine. It was something else. We have this terrible problem. Maybe it's a financial problem or, you know, we have whatever the problem is. And boy, we pray and God acts and God doesn't. I guess I just figured that out all on my own. If he had gotten there too soon, somebody would have said, well, it's just a coincidence. How about if Jesus had gotten there just about the time that Lazarus died and just within a few minutes after Lazarus' death, or maybe an hour after Lazarus' death, he brought him back from the dead. And you know what? Somebody would have said, well, he wasn't really dead. That's what they said about Jesus. He was just in a coma. They even said that Jesus was in a coma and the coolness of the tomb resuscitated him. So listen, if you get in a coma, have somebody put ice on you. Apparently that'll wake you up. That's what they would have said if Jesus had gotten there too soon. Oh, well, he just resuscitated Lazarus. He was just in a coma. Listen to me, it was not a coincidence and it was not resuscitation. It was resurrection. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. The Jews did not embalm their dead. They buried him the same day they died so that decomposition was already taking place. He already stank. He already was a mess. And 4 days later, by the power of Almighty God, Jesus raised him from the dead. And he waited so that there could be no mistake and no deliberation. It was a miracle of God. It increased the faith of Martha and Mary and caused faith to be born in some others who were around him. Sometimes God waits in our lives because our faith needs to be increased. And if He doesn't wait until the situation in our mind is too bad and it's too late, then we won't attribute the work of God to God. We'll attribute it to somebody or something else. And so sometimes He waits to increase our faith. Sometimes I think He waits to create faith
in other people. They see our life, they see our situation, they see our difficulty, whatever it is, and then they see the resolution of that. They know that by man's standard it was too late. It had to be a miracle that it got done. And they have faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's all about God. And the delay was for His glory. And the result of His glory was the increase in the building of faith. That brings us to the decisions that were made that day.
I want to tell you, the miracle was a miracle, miraculous. But one of the most amazing things is something that happens after this. There were others who witnessed this miracle. If you read through the story, you'll find out that Martha and Mary, they had the funeral for Lazarus. Actually, they have the funeral almost after the burial because they bury him the same day. And so they had to hire, the Jewish people had to hire mourners. There was a minimum requirement of mourners. They had to have, I think it was they had to have one wailing woman, professional wailing woman to come. If you were rich, you hired more. They had to have a flute player. You had to hire a flute player. If you were rich, you hired more. And then the friends would gather around and they went through this mourning. That all was taking place. So all of these people, the professionals as well as the friends, saw the resurrection of Lazarus. Now I want you to look at verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him. Now don't you find that an amazing verse? Because of one word. Many. Not all, but many. Wouldn't you think that all would believe? Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. You remember the story when Jesus told him to roll the stone back. Martha said, oh no. No, she didn't believe Jesus was going to raise him from the dead. I don't know what she thought. Maybe he thought he just wanted to go in there and look at his body. No, Jesus, he stinks. Please don't humiliate my brother. He's already dead. Don't humiliate him in death and let his decomposing and smelly body be exposed. Please, no, don't roll the stone back. They saw that. They heard that. They heard Jesus say, Lazarus, come forth. They saw Lazarus come out of that tomb in the grave clothes, still wrapped in the grave clothes. They had watched them put him in there 4 days before. Wouldn't you think that they would all believe? But they didn't. Many did. Verse 46. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. There were the believers and there were the tattlers. Some of them went and tattled on Jesus. They went to the Pharisees and tattled on Him. Now, listen. Those who went, the some who tattled, they didn't deny the miracle. They saw the miracle. They didn't deny the miracle. They just chose not to believe in Jesus. Incredible. The Pharisees, verse 53, when they heard about the miracle that Jesus had done, then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put Him to death. They didn't believe. They decided, well, I'm not going to believe that. I know it happened. I'm not going to deny it. I can't deny it. There were too many witnesses. I can't deny that Lazarus was dead. He'd been there for 4 days. But I'm just not going to believe it. As a matter of fact, the Pharisees decided, not only are we not going to believe it, we're going to kill this guy. He's causing too much trouble. His love didn't matter. He loved Martha and Mary and Jesus, and that's why He delayed, and that's why He came, and that's part of the reason why He brought Lazarus back from the dead. But Jesus' love didn't matter to those folks. To the some and the Pharisees, His love didn't matter. His miraculous power, the miracle that He performed, it didn't matter to the some and to the Pharisees. They decided, I don't believe. Belief is a personal thing. God has done everything necessary to prove His existence. His creation proves His existence. I was reading something this past week about some people who are atheists. And it was giving a list, I don't know, 18 or 19 people who were atheists. Some of them were famous. And it was telling why they were atheists. And this one guy, you'd know him if I said his name. He's an actor. And he said, where's the proof? Where's the proof that God exists? It's all around us. His creation is proof. Your physical body is proof of a creator. Now, do you really believe that we crawled up out of the ocean and evolved into this thing that is a human body, the way that it works together? Come on now. Even a car is designed less intricately than our bodies, and we believe there's a creator of the car. God has proven his existence. We have decided, some has decided, that atheist has decided, I won't believe. Jesus Christ has proven his love for you. He died on the cross of Calvary. Your sin, my sin, put him on that cross, but he stayed there because he loved us. He shed his blood for us so that our sins could be forgiven and we could have a personal relationship with him, that we could live for him and serve him and understand that it's all about him, and that we could go to heaven when we die. That's what Jesus did to prove his love for us. But some have decided, I won't believe. We blame the Bible. We blame the church. We blame Christians. We blame the schools. We blame society. We blame our circumstances. We blame our poverty or our wealth or whatever. We blame other things. But the truth is, those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, it's as simple as they have decided, I will not believe. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to have a song of invitation. Be as quiet as you can and as still as you can for just one moment. I just want to ask you one little question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Have you decided, I believe in Jesus? Have you accepted him as your personal Savior? It's really that simple. If you haven't made that decision, would you make it this morning? Would you decide, I believe in Jesus, and I will receive Jesus as my Savior, and I will serve him as my Lord? That will be my decision. You come while we sing.